It is time again for this week to begin with you as a student in the Warren County Radio Bible School. We're actually in the midst of a lesson about the great reign of Solomon while he was king. We studied about how he was humble in the beginning. We're going to read about his greatness, and then we're going to read about his downfall toward the end. But right now, we're going to take a break from that, because this being Monday morning, we are going to read from the Rock Cliff Review. And so this is a special feature that we do on Mondays. That is the bulletin that is handed out to those who attend services at the Rock Cliff Church of Christ. And in this, it usually has something that has to do with the sermon that I'm going to preach that morning. And this morning, this bulletin was handed out, the article in that is called Support Your Local Elders. Now, this comes from a passage in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 12 through 13. One of the things I'm doing, about once a month, I preach from the book of 1 Thessalonians, and I'll do that from 1 Thessalonians, and then I'll go on and continue into 2 Thessalonians. And this is one of those sermons that is in that series. Let me read this to you. Paul's preaching met with great success in Thessalonica, but it also met with great opposition. In a short time, the opposition became so intense that the brethren hurriedly sent Paul away under the cover of darkness. We read about that in Acts chapter 17, verses 1 through 10. Paul left Thessalonica sooner than he had intended, but before he left, he appointed some to labor with this young church, to watch over them in the Lord, and to admonish them. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 12 through 13, Paul wrote a letter to this church, saying, "We beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you, and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and esteem them very highly for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves." This is a work that would elsewhere be assigned to elders. Paul admonished the elders from Ephesus in Acts 20 and verse 17, "To take heed therefore unto yourselves, and all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood." Acts 20 and verse 28. Peter would later write, "The elders which are among you I exhort, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away." 1 Peter 5, verses 1 through 4. It is appropriate to call these men shepherds and pastors, because they are to tend to the church as shepherds would tend to their master's flock. Acts 20, 28. Ephesians 4, 11. 1 Peter 5, 2 through 4. It is appropriate to call these men bishops and overseers, because they were to be on watch and to look after the church. Acts 20 and verse 28. Philippians 1 and verse 1. 1 Timothy 3 verse 1 and 2. Titus chapter 1 and verse 7. Hebrews 13 verse 17. And 1 Peter 5 and verse 2. It is appropriate to call these men elders and presbyters, because they are recognized and respected as men with spiritual maturity. Acts 11 and verse 30. Acts 14 and verse 23. Acts 15 and verse 2. And verse 4. And verse 6. And verse 22. And verse 23. Acts 20 and verse 17. Acts 20 and verse 18. 1 Timothy 4, 14. 1 Timothy 5, 17. And 19, Titus chapter 1 and verse 5, James chapter 5 and verse 14, and 1 Peter 5 and verse 1. And by the listing of these scrap passages, we see most of the time these men are called elders rather than bishops or pastors, but they're all three names for the same office and the same work. The need for these men to be men of spiritual maturity raises a question. How could Paul appoint elders in the church at Thessalonica after having been there only a few weeks? Well, there are three possible answers. One is, these men may have been added to the church long before Paul arrived, even as early as the day of Pentecost. A second answer, the synagogues had elders. Some of these men may have come to spiritual maturity in the synagogues. And then a third answer, Paul had the ability to endow men with spiritual gifts to supply what was lacking to help them in their work. In Ephesians 4:11, we read of some who had received such gifts to enable them to be pastor teachers. The responsibility that these men had to the church was threefold. One, as pastors, they were to labor among them like a shepherd would labor among his flock and keep it safe and comforted and fed. Two, as bishops, they were to be over them in the Lord, but exercising their authority with restraint, not as lords over God's heritage, 1 Peter 5 and verse 3. The more we follow them as leaders, the less they will need to direct us. Number three, as respected elders, they were to teach and admonish the saints in the church. The responsibility of the church to these men was also threefold. One, they were to know them. Now the shepherd needs to know his sheep, but the sheep also need to know their shepherds. This is more than just knowing who they are. They should know how they think. They should be able to anticipate their judgments. This kind of knowledge will help the saints of the church know what they ought to do, sometime even without a word from the elders. Number two, they are to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. This esteem and love goes beyond their personalities. Bishops are esteemed and loved because of the work they have taken on is esteemed and loved. We love the elders because we love the church. And number three, they were to be at peace among themselves. Backbiting, strife, and division in a congregation is a sure way to weigh elders down. Paul wrote, "Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things whereby we may edify one another." Romans chapter 14 and verse 19. The organization of the Lord's church is simple. Christ is the head over all things pertaining to the church, Ephesians 1:22. Elders are appointed to labor, to watch over, to admonish the saints of a local congregation. So support your local elders. Well, that was the sermon for that morning. You know, men in their own wisdom have come up with all kinds of ways to bring order to their churches. And they've developed ways that are so complex with different hierarchies and not just having bishops, but archbishops and dioceses and councils and ways to rise in power through their denominational structures. But when we read the New Testament, we read of no such thing. Christ is the head of the church. The elders oversee a local flock, and the deacons are there to help the elders in carrying out the tasks needed to care for that flock. If we would simply learn to do the simple Bible things the simple Bible ways, how much better everything else will be. Well, we're going to return now to this lesson about Solomon and his wisdom. Before I do, I need to remind you, the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond Mountain, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m., and all are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rockcliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. But now let's turn to the Elam Sunday School notes on Solomon's wisdom. There are many instances of Solomon's wisdom that are given. One instance is his determining who was the mother of the living child. We read about this in 1 Kings chapter 3, beginning in verse 16, where it says, "There came two women that were harlots unto the king and stood before him. And one woman said, O my Lord, I and this woman dwell in one house, and I was delivered of a child in her house. And it came but pass the third day after I was delivered that this woman was delivered also, and we were together. There was no stranger with us in the house, save we two in the house. And this woman's child died in the night because she lay upon it. And she arose at midnight and took my son from beside me while my handmaid slept and laid it in her bosom and laid the dead child in my bosom. And when I rose in the morning to give the child suck, behold, it was dead. But when I had looked at it in the morning, I saw it was not my son whom I did bear. And the other woman said, Nay, but the living son is my son, and the dead is thy son. And this said, No, but the dead is thy son, and the living is my son. Thus they both spoke before the king. Then said the king, The one saith, This is my son that liveth, and thy son is dead. And the other says, Nay, but thy son is dead, and my son is living. And the king said, Fetch me a sword. And they brought a sword before the king. And the king said, Divide the living child in two, and give half to the one and half to the other. Then spake the woman whose the living child was unto the king, for her heart yearned over her son. And she said, O my Lord, give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. But the other said, It shall be neither mine nor thine, divide it. Then the king answered and said, Give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. She is the mother thereof. And all Israel heard of the judgment which the king had judged, and they feared the king, for they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to do justice. Solomon wrote 3,000 proverbs and 1,005 songs, and his knowledge of natural history and other instances show his wisdom. So that there hath been none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any rise like unto thee. And God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding exceeding much, and largeness of heart, even as the sand on the seashore. And it says here to see that in 1 Kings 4, verses 29 through 34. God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding exceeding much, and largeness of heart, even as the sand on the seashore. And Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the children of the east and all the wisdom of Egypt. For he was wiser than all men, than Ethan the Ezrahite, and Heman, and Calco, and Darda, the sons of Mahol. And his fame was in all the nations round about. And he spake 3,000 proverbs, and his songs were 1,005. And he spake of trees, from cedar that is in Lebanon, even unto the hyssop that springeth out of the wall. He spake also of beasts, and of birds, and of creeping things, and of fishes. And there came of all people to hear the wisdom of Solomon, from all the kings of the earth, who had heard of his wisdom. The kingdom reached the zenith of its earthly splendor and glory during Solomon's reign, and from him, on account of his sins, it began to decline. We'll continue this study in the next class.